WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is your favorite time of the day. 1 o'clock has struck, and Current Sports is pumping through your speakers. That's right. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. Folks, we have an exciting show to close out the week, to say the least, folks. We'll talk about the Detroit Lions and wrap up an interesting discussion concerning this whole pass interference fiasco. I feel like we've been talking about it all week. But another story, a pretty funny story, has emerged today. That has us talking once again. We'll talk about that and let you know what it is. We'll also have Reflection Friday for you as we take a look at the week that was in sports and give you our favorite moments from our show here at Current Sports, as well as just sports news in general. And we'll give you an NFL playoff weekend prediction and also talk about the MSU men's and women's basketball games that took place last night. Pretty contrast differences, to say the least. But as always here on the show, let's start it like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this January 9th. All right, folks, let's start with the MSU men's basketball team. Travis Trice was in a complete zone. Trice is nice, folks. He scored 25 points and hit 7 3-pointers, and Michigan State rallied to pound Iowa 75-61 last night in its ninth straight win over the Iowa Hawkeyes. Now, Brandon Dawson also chipped in with 14 points and 15 rebounds, a routine double-double for him. The Spartans are now 11-5, 2-1 in the Big Ten, and they came back from an 11-point halftime deficit to post one of their biggest wins of the year. Now, Iowa now moves on to play Minnesota on Tuesday, as Michigan State will host Northwestern on Sunday at the Breslin Center. All right, Ariel Powers had seven 3-pointers on her way to 35 points on Thursday night's loss to Nebraska, 71-67, the final of that one. Now, Powers' performance tied her for second most behind a school record 41 by Maxson Reese back in 1999. Now, Powers had 11 rebounds as well. Nebraska trailed 66-60 with 3 minutes left when it went on an 11-1 run to finish the game. Now, Michigan State will travel to Northwestern on Sunday for its next matchup. All right, ESPN will use head coach of the MSU football team, Mark D'Antonio, as an analyst all day on Monday to help break down that evening's national championship game between Ohio State and Oregon. Now, those are the only two teams to beat MSU this season, and MSU was the only team to play both. Now, D'Antonio will be on site at AT&T Stadium out in Arlington, Texas, and will appear on SportsCenter from 12:30 to 2:30, on College Football Live at 3 p.m., and on College Game Day Championship Drive at 7 p.m. He'll also join Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Russillo for an interview on ESPN Radio at a time to be determined. All right, Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh is filling his staff with assistants who have worked in the NFL, and he's doing it quickly. Now, the latest, according to 24/7 Wolverine and FoxSports.com, is Jed Fish, who would coach U of M's wide receivers and quarterbacks and be the passing game coordinator. Now, hiring the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive coordinator from the past two seasons for that role would fit the template that Harbaugh has had at times earlier in his career. So, hey, Harbaugh is making some moves, folks. All right, Lance United's general manager and coach Eric Rutland, along with players Brian Cunningham, Tyler Pasher, and Cody Archibald, will participate in the first ever National Premier Soccer League Combine that takes place Friday through Sunday in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, the Combine, which will be held at Broward Community College, provides an opportunity for Major League Soccer, the North American Soccer League, and USL Pro Clubs to scout NPSL players. So possibly some pro dreams could come true for Cunningham, Pasher, and Archibald. All right, how about this accomplishment, huh? Bob Anderson set a state record for games coached when the Yellow Jackets faced St. Louis last night. Now, the game was the 1,120th of his career, surpassing the mark of 1,119 set by Paul Cook, whose coaching tenure included stints guiding the Eastern Boys and Lansing Catholic Boys and Girls. Now, Anderson is in his 26th season coaching girls basketball and has coached 25 seasons of boys. That's unbelievable. Mind-boggling stuff. Shout out and salute to Bob Anderson. All right, this is a pretty funny story here. An anonymous group of Detroit Lions fans, peeved about the blown call in Sunday's playoff loss to the Dallas Cowboys, are taken to the highways to express their collective displeasure. Now, the message, quote, Detroit Lion, no, not L-I-O-N, but L-Y-I-N, one with a Honolulu blue background and a referee signaling pass interference, another showing a referee's feet and yellow penalty flag on a football field, is cropping up on digital billboards around Metro Detroit. Now, the digital billboard costs about $1,000 a week, which is typical in this market. It's reported that the Detroit Lion billboard is a short-term program. And last but certainly not least, a great accomplishment for all of these individuals, including former Ohio State coach Jim Tressel and Kansas State coach Bill Snyder. They have been selected for induction into the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, the National Football Foundation announced the latest Hall of Fame class of 15 players and two coaches on Friday. Heisman Trophy winner Ricky Williams of Texas and Oklahoma linebacker Brian Bosworth were also elected. And also a few others on the list include Michigan State halfback Clinton Jones and Michigan running back Rob Little. How about that? Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, an exciting show for you all today. Again, what a hilarious story that is. The Detroit Lion billboards. Again, if you haven't seen that, it's a quick Google. Just type in Detroit Lion. No, not L-I-O-N as in the animal. No, but Lion as in like you're lying. L-Y-I-N is how they spell it. But a few of these billboards have been popping up all around Metro Detroit, folks. Hilarious stuff. I actually saw it last night when I was just browsing the net. Someone had posted it, and I got definitely a chuckle out of it. But, you know, I just kind of think it's going a little bit too far now, though, folks. I understand we're having fun here, and there's a lot of Detroit Lion fans out there that are still, and this call is going to be talked about until next season, until Detroit, realistically, until Detroit wins a playoff game, to be honest with you guys. But, you know, it just seems as though every time you turn on ESPN or every time you read a local news article or a sports article, I mean, it seems as though that call is still being talked about. Even some of you on this show are still calling in and express the displeasure of that call. No doubt was a bad call, but I got some strong thoughts on how to move on from it later on in the show, folks. Okay, so you don't want to miss that. We'll also be playing, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, it was one fantastic sit-down. I tell you what, the man is a natural on camera. Maybe he should think about possibly getting his broadcasting on and maybe ditch the print career. I mean, he's very good at both, I tell you that. Chris Solari, he's an outstanding writer for the Lansing State Journal. Unbelievable guy, one of the most down-to-earth individuals you'll ever meet. He was my guest this week on Current Sports TV, and him and I sat down and we powwowed about his experience down out in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium. He talked about and broke down the game and ranked where being at that game and covering that game ranks in his all-time coverage list. And you know, we talked about so much, even the Harbaugh hire, John Smoltz being inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame, all of that and so much more, folks. If you happen to miss it, you're in luck, because you know each and every Friday we treat you guys who may have missed last night's interview by playing it right here live on Current Sports Radio. We won't play the whole thing, we'll play a snippet of it. You don't want to miss that either, folks. And also, it's Friday, and each and every Friday, we love to reflect, okay? Take a look at what happened this week in sports and give you our favorite stories and favorite moments from the show. So we'll have Reflection Friday for you and even give you an NFL playoff weekend prediction from both Alex and I. And you can do that as well. Again, our phone lines will be staying open all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And Alex, we're going to go with caller number two today. If the caller number two who calls in and dials that number will win tickets to the Michigan State men's basketball game this Sunday against Northwestern as Michigan State tries to improve that Big Ten record. So if you want to go out and check that game out, again, you'll win two tickets. You get to you know, take a friend or a family member or so on and so forth to that game at the Breslin Center on Sunday. If you want to win those tickets, call now, 517-355-9527. But let's start the show by talking about one incredible comeback by that team, the Michigan State men's basketball team, last night at Iowa. Unbelievable stuff. Now, Travis Trice scored 25 points, The man hit 7 3-pointers as Michigan State rallied to pound Iowa 75-61. Its 9th straight win over the Iowa Hawkeyes. Brandon Dawson also posted a routine triple-double, 14 points, 15 rebounds for him, who came back again from an 11-point halftime deficit. I mean, I'm sitting there watching that game, and I'm saying to myself, in that first half, I mean, the Michigan State offense was beyond stagnant. They couldn't get anything going. I mean, anytime the ball was thrown into the post, it was kicked back out to a guard who just kind of just dribbled the ball around in a ho-hum way. Then you had turnovers left and right. Michigan State did not come to play in that first half. And, you know, as to close the show yesterday, I thought that Iowa, who has had a pretty good season thus far, and looks to be a team that is certainly going to compete throughout the Big Ten year, I felt as though Iowa was going to pull that game out yesterday. And I tell you what, after that first half was done, I looked like a genius. But then all of a sudden, I tell you what, Travis Trice was pretty nice. I mean, the man, again, he had 25 points, 7 3-pointers. The bulk of his points came in that second half. It's almost like he put the team on his shoulders and said, hey, let's go. And you know what? It was even sparked, even to go behind that. I mean, to really explore this comeback. I mean, again, to break it down, Michigan State trailed 44-33, 3 minutes into that second half. So it is not even like they came out firing once the second half started. They were still down by double digits. And then, you know, really there were two keys. Other than Trice's unbelievable shooting performance in that game to really propel MSU and to really shift the momentum of things out in Iowa, defense is what really turned this game around for Michigan State. You know, we saw that great defensive effort that they had at the beginning of this week on Monday against Indiana late in that night game. And, you know, Michigan State just seemed to, you know, the question for me was, how can they duplicate that effort? Will it be consistent? And again, to start that game against Iowa, it was not there at all. But in that second half, I mean, again, 3 minutes into it, Michigan State really hiked up the shorts, got the hands low, and communicated defensively. They got some stops, they caused a few turnovers, and, you know, this is the key to this Michigan State team. When they get stops, they have to get in transition and score quickly. That's what Michigan State's bread and butter is for this year's team. It's like when they start that half-court stagnant offense, they can't get anything. Michigan State certainly has to work on that half-court offense because you're not going to be able to run on every single team. And you saw it in the first half to Iowa. Iowa did not allow Michigan State to run, point blank, period. But when they did, when Michigan State started to make a more concerned effort to do so in that second half, you started to see things open up. And, hey, you got to give credit to Denzel Valentine, too, because Denzel Valentine kind of sparked that whole unbelievable 28-7 run over the next 10 minutes after 3 minutes into that second half. You know, he got some things going out in transition himself, hit some big buckets where he just came down and decided to take a long two-pointer, you know, with a 1-on-4. He was that confident. He just felt as though something needed to happen here. That turned out to be the spark plug for this team, and his other backcourt mate, Travis Trice, followed. And again, if you look at the three-point line, because this is something when analyzing this Michigan State team this year, it is so alarming, and it's no surprise really when we're really looking at this squad because they've been this way all year, and in many ways one-dimensional offensively. Either one, or I would say they can score in a variety, well, in two ways, either in transition, as I just alluded to, or by hitting that jump shot in deep three. As far as creating its own offense in the half court, having guards slash to the basket, getting fouled, going to the foul line, that gritty half court mentality that Tom Izzo teams have had in the past, we have not seen that yet. And I don't know if we'll ever see. I don't know when it'll click for MSU, but we haven't seen that yet from Michigan State men's basketball team. And one, I think there's very few guys, you know, other than maybe Travis Trice and Denzel, who can really create their own offense to a certain extent. But if you just take a look at the three-point ball here. Travis Trice, he was 7-for-8 from three-point land. I mean, that is just insane in the membrane, folks. 7-of-8? I mean, my goodness. He only missed 1 3-pointer out of eight chances. That's remarkable. He finished with 25 points. Look at Denzel Valentine on the other end. He was 4-of-7. That's also very, very impressive from three-point land. Valentine ended up with 18 points. Now, overall, Michigan State went 12 of 17. That is just, that's unconscious shooting, folks. And, of course, the bulk of that coming from the two guys I just mentioned, Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine. For me, Don't get me wrong. Last night, an incredible comeback, a great test on the road within the conference, within the Big Ten Conference, against a formidable opponent in Iowa. Great comeback win, without a doubt. But at the same time, I have the question that I've always had since the start of this year. If the three-point shot is not getting knocked down, what is the plan B? What is the plan B for Michigan State? That's the question I want to pose. If you got an answer or think you have an answer, call in right now. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Because I feel as though if Michigan State is not hitting that three-point shot, they have no alternative. Maybe the alternative is to get in transition. I think it is to get in transition, to corral rebounds and get out and try to get easy layups or easy shots down the court quick. Because once you don't, Michigan State turns into a subpar team. I now invite the man behind the glass on the show, Alex Shark. Happy Friday, my man.
Happy Friday. Yeah, I like the discussion because I was watching the game last night as well. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this team really, really heavily relies on the three-pointer. I started thinking, when was the last time another MSU team shot this many threes or had this much as of a high three-point percentage? So I went last night and I looked back on the archives. I wanted to see, okay, when was the last team another MSU basketball team shot this well? Right now, Michigan State shoots 41% from three-point range. 41%. Over the last 10 to 15 years, there is not one other team that shoots over 40% from the three-point line. Now, looking at field goal percentage, they're shooting 48% from the field. The last team to shoot close enough to 48% is 2 years ago when Draymond was here and Brandon Dawson was a freshman. And that's when they shot 47% from the field. Back in 2009 as well, in the Drew Neitzel era, they were shooting around 47% as well. But right now, this is the highest shooting percentage MSU basketball team in the last decade. So that says a lot about what this team does and how they rely on shooting. But at the same time, Al, you're talking, okay, if they don't shoot that well last night, do they win this game?
No.
And I have to answer by saying, look, they won by 14. Even if they didn't shoot as well, let's say they shot 37%. They're still winning by 4 or 5 points.
But Alex, okay, look, if you look at, again, and to argue that point, because I don't think if Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine doesn't come out and have the performances they had last night, if Travis Trice doesn't hit 7 or 8 of his three-pointers, Valentine doesn't go 4 for 7 from three-point land, look at the other numbers. I mean, the other disparities in here. I mean, just looking at the numbers here, no other player other than, well, you got Tum-Tum. Tum-Tum took 1 3-pointer. He went 0 for 1. He didn't make it. And then if you look at Bryn Forbes, he was 1 for 1. And other than that, nobody else took a three-pointer. Looking at the numbers, Brandon Dawson, he went 7 of 13, a great double-double for performance from him. I thought that Brandon Dawson's rebounding was also, it was absent in the first half, and then he seemed to wake up in the second half. If you look at Gavin Schilling, he's a guy who came in, he went 1 for 3, he only took 3 shots the entire game, but he came in and really didn't provide enough energy, I felt as though. I mean, he had no rebounds. I mean, for a big man for a Michigan State team, if you come in and don't have rebounds, that's inexcusable. So I just feel as though when you stop Michigan State from shooting, or if they're having an off shooting day, again, I think this team, this is the model for this team, and you've heard this all the time in basketball. You live by the jump shot, you die by the jump shot. And if Michigan State isn't coming out and hitting that jump shot, then they you got a problem. Again, folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I believe we have Tom from Lansing on line one. Tom, you are on Current Sports. How you doing, my man? Do we have him, Alex? Tom? Hello?
Good.
There he is. There we go. We got Tom now. Gotcha.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on the Michigan State basketball game.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you touched on a good point about the Michigan State and their three-point shooting. The problem is they don't want to be a three-point shooting team. And you can tell, particularly last night, but there's been other games when they're shooting threes, they're hitting threes, But in the back of their mind, they say, well, we're not a three-point shooting team. Let's feed it into the inside. And the problem is they have no one that can do anything on the inside. They have to realize that three-point shooters is what they have, and they got to run with that. But you'll see them consistently passing it to the inside, but the inside guys can't do anything. You'll see them try to drive, but they don't really have any drivers. So whether they like it or not, I think they're stuck with three-point shooting, and they're good at it. So I'd like to see them keep rolling with it so they can get some people that can do something on the inside. And don't be ashamed of jacking those threes because they can make them.
Yeah, no, that is true. Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. Great insight there. Thank you. Yeah, and I think, Alex, you know, Tom makes an interesting point because, you know, when you look at it, it's interesting because this is a Michigan State that obviously can hit three-point shot, without a doubt. But again, you know, you talk about those guys in the inside. I think when you have bigs who can get the ball on the inside and you know, have polished fundamentals to create their own shot and give you points, it opens everything up. That adds another added weapon to your offense. And it really allows the guards and the spacing on the court to really break through. But again, you know, we've seen teams in the past that, you know, have relied on just shooting to get by. And you're going to have nights when you just can't find the bottom of the net from deep. That's just how basketball is. I mean, some of the greatest shooters of all time, have had bad nights shooting the basketball. And it's like when that happens, you have to find alternative options to score. And I think, you know, looking at Tum Tum, you know, a guy who I think, it, you know, growing confidence game by game for him. And, you know, some of those shots, especially, I don't know if you saw that one play where Tum Tum gets the ball, he takes two dribbles inside like he's about to drive. He gets collapsed on, and Trice's defender in the corner collapses on Tum Tum because he thinks he's going to drive. Tum Tum recognizes it, throws it out to Trice, nails a three-point shot.
Wide open, too. Yeah, exactly.
Wide open. That play right there is a perfect example of what Michigan State can be if they add a slashing guard to the whole mix of this whole thing. Because once you have a guard that can slash in the paint, it's a weapon. It's a weapon, and teams are going to recognize that and collapse on that guard, and possibly that one defender who is on a Trice or a Denzel is going to collapse to try to stop penetration, and Tum Tum or whoever that guard may be is going to find an open man for the open shot. It just opens the entire court up when you become not just one-dimensional. And I do think, you know what another thing, and I tweeted this last night when I was watching the game, what also made Travis Trice's performance so unbelievable is that when they went back and showed all of his three-point shots, folks, again, yeah, okay, that was one example of Tum Tum driving in and giving Trice a wide-open three-pointer. But most of Travis Trice's three-point shots last night came off the dribble shots or him creating space and shooting with the hand in his face. Travis Trice was in one of those rare zones in the game of basketball where he just couldn't miss. And what was more impressive, again, was that he created this space to get off those shots. It was really remarkable. And it was impressive to watch. But again, what is the plan B, folks? Because
right.
I am not confident that Michigan State can just rely on that shot on the three-point line to get by and go make a deep turning run. Because teams are going to recognize that, okay, maybe if we sit in a 2-3 zone, maybe we can throw this team off their game. I don't know. We have another call. I believe it's Ray. Is Ray online too, Alex? We have Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year, my man.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Oh, I had a fantastic Christmas. It was a great time with family and friends. How about you?
Yeah, I watched my grandkids open their gifts, so that was pretty nice.
Oh, that's great. That's always a good time.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that State game. I couldn't believe it. You guys were down like 3 touchdowns when I left the restaurant after eating my food and I got home, and you pulled the game out. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, you're talking about the Cotton Bowl, yes.
Yeah, Baylor. I mean, you beat won the Rose Bowl. You won the Cotton Bowl the last couple of years.
Yeah, impressive.
You got to be pretty happy up there.
Well, I tell you what, the buzz around, after that game was won, I mean, it was unlike anything I'd ever seen. You know, I'm a big Twitter guy. I'm a big social media guy. I was on social media after that game, Ray, and I tell you what, there were a lot of people who just couldn't believe. I mean, Michigan State's down 41-21 to enter the fourth quarter, then they come back to beat the number 5 team in the nation. I mean, it was truly remarkable, and I tell you what, it's a true testament to Mark D'Antonio and his entire coaching staff, because to get his players to focus in that moment in adversity, hey, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, that is. That was quite a comeback. Hey, that State, when do they play Michigan, the 2 games in basketball?
I am not sure. We have to look at their schedule. I'll bring their schedule up in just a second and let you know. But I am not sure.
I don't know. Do you think you're going to be able to beat Michigan these couple games or what?
It's in basketball?
Yeah.
Oh, I think. I mean, have you seen the Michigan basketball team this year, Ray?
Yeah, that surprised me. They beat Illinois, and then they won this last game with who was it they played the other night? They come from behind. And
I'm looking. It's exactly February 1st and February 17th.
When's the first one? Is it at Ann Arbor, the first one?
The first one is here in East Lansing. That's a 1 p.m. game, and the second one will be in Ann Arbor. That's a 9 p.m. night game.
Hey, I was watching that the NFL finalist, and Kurt Warner got in out of the top 15, but I didn't realize in baseball you only have to have 75% in the Hall of Fame. Why is it 80% in the NFL Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. I didn't know that. But, yeah, in baseball it is 75%. I'm not sure. Maybe that has to do with the disparity of the voters. I mean, maybe there are more voters in the baseball – well, more voters in NFL Hall of Fame compared to the baseball. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
That's pretty rough. 80%, you get any people impartial. I don't know if Warner will be able to get in the first ballot. You know that movie's coming out. I'm hoping he gets the first ballot.
Kurt Warner is your guy, Ray.
Well, you know what? There's a whole bunch to the story.
Yeah. Oh, there is.
When the movie comes out, you'll understand why I was rooting for it.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, hey,
God bless you.
Thanks a lot, Ray, for the call. Always a good one, man. Oh, boy. Ray. Gotta love Ray, Alex. Gotta love Ray. But, yeah, I mean, so just some final thoughts before we hit the first break here, Alex. Let's go back to basketball now. You know, Izzo, I think, you know, Tom Izzo, what another glaring moment in that game for me, which really I think kind of woke this team up, was when Tom Izzo got that technical. And I think that's something that needs to be talked about here, because Tom Izzo talked about how he felt as though his team needed a sort of a jolt of energy during that game. And partly it was because he wanted to send a message to the refs and said that, hey, my man Brandon Dawson got fouled down there. What's going on? But also the other side of it was that he felt as though his team lacked energy. And Tom Izzo getting that technical also added as well into that momentum shift. When is the last time Tom Izzo got a technical? Because he said yesterday in the postgame presser that it had been like a couple of years, which really surprised me.
It had to be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, Tom Izzo, for me, I think getting that technical last night, and Denzel kind of alluded to it after the game in the postgame, you know, in the locker room when I was reading about it. He talked about how that kind of woke the team up a little bit. And, you know, this team is one that I cannot read right now, Alex, because, again, you saw the disparity from one half to another last night. We have not seen anything really consistent that we can buy in that alludes to future success on this squad. And the fact that we haven't really kind of scares me. And I'm sure scares a lot of Spartan fans out there, because you just never know what you're going to get out of a Michigan State men's basketball game. I don't know. I think that right now there's a lot of fine-tuning that has to come about. If anything, if there's any sort of consistency, I think defensively they have to find out how to battle what kind of effort they had throughout that Indiana game. And also even the beginning of the second half of that Iowa game last night, because I tell you what, those two stretches right there have been the best two stretches that I've seen from this team on the defensive end all year. So I think, you know, they got to find out how to bottle that and how to harness it and keep that up game by game by game. But we'll see. And I also like, you know, how Tum Tum seems to be getting confident, more and more confident every time he steps out on the court. Hey, the Bahama Mamba should be making some noise as these games rattle off game by game by game. So Michigan State will take on Northwestern this Sunday. Alex, did we ever get a ticket winner?
We did. We have Camilla from Lansing. So you'll give her a call after the show. Congrats, Camilla.
Nice. Camilla is a very dedicated listener to our show. We love her. Hey, congratulations, Camilla. Enjoy that game. So, again, and looking at the future schedule for Michigan State, Alex, I really think this is a prime opportunity for them to really rattle off a few wins here. I mean, you know, they play Northwestern this Sunday. Then they got an opportunity to get some revenge against Maryland, a team that beat them to start conference play. That game was a gritty game, went to OT. Maryland ended up getting a close win there. Then they go and play a Penn State and Nebraska team who really don't look that great this year. Also,
hey, Nebraska
Rutgers.
Looks great.
Yeah, well,
Nebraska?
Yeah, they look okay.
Beat Michigan State last year. Similar team this year.
What I've seen this year, they don't look outstanding.
Ron Petway, you saw him against Iowa, though, right?
Petway's okay. But again, overall, because I've seen a few Nebraska games this year. When Nebraska, this is the thing about Nebraska. They also have an energy problem because Nebraska will come out and look like this unbelievable, you know, cohesive team and unit to start the game. Then it kind of just trickles out and fades away. So they've had a few losses on that schedule that you said, okay, what's going on here? But I do think the stretch coming up for Michigan State, this is an ideal opportunity for them to possibly get something going here. So we'll see. Let's take our first break, folks. When we come back, you'll get to hear my Current Sports TV sit-down with Chris Solari. It was a fun one, folks. So if you missed Current Sports TV last night, you'll get to hear his insights on that incredible Cotton Bowl win, on his experience being down there in Texas and experiencing that game firsthand. Also, his thoughts on MSU men's basketball, on John Smoltz being inducted to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday, January 9th. Folks, I hope you've been bundling up because, again, it is another cold one outside. We've been on this unbelievable stretch throughout this entire week where this weather is just, ugh. I wish I was in Florida right now, you know, on the beach somewhere. But, hey, no, you know what? I don't, because I'd rather be here with you folks, okay? And hopefully, you know, I looked on the news last night, and there were, again, a lot of schools that got canceled due to the frigid cold weather. So there's a lot of kids sitting at home. Maybe, you know, I remember when I used to get time off from school when we would have a snow day or something like that. My dad or mom would send me outside and I would have to shovel the snow. So it was funny. I was driving into work today and I did see a few kids doing that. But other than that, you guys got it made. You're probably sitting back right now after being out in the cold and shoveling and listening to Current Sports. So we appreciate your support. All right. Also want to bring up real briefly, the Michigan State women's basketball team. What a performance from Ariel Powers last night. 35 points. It was a career high for her. It was actually, you know, her performance tied her for the second most behind a school record 41, if you remember from Max and Reese back in 1999. She also chipped in with 11 rebounds. But at the end of the day, all that matters is what you do in that win column. And they ended up losing to Nebraska in the final minutes, 71-67, the final of that one. I tell you what, Alex, I really, you know, and I hate to bring this up, but I think it is a valid question to ask, you know, because, you know, anytime you look at those numbers from Ariel Powers, I mean, hey, she had a great performance. I mean, she is certainly an unbelievable basketball player, one of the best I've seen since covering MSU women's basketball. 7 three-point shots, you know, 35 points. But at the same time, I wonder and question whether or not those numbers need to be dispersed amongst her teammates a little bit more. Maybe she's taking too many shots. I mean, because anytime you throw up that type of number and you still lose, there's a lot of questions to be had, you know, in many regards. Not even just on the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well.
Right. Well, I know at the start of the game, they did switch their lineup around a little bit. Lexi Gusser getting a nod. There are some switches being made. This is the first time all year that the women's basketball team made changes to their lineup. Susie also had an interview before the game, and she thought that they're just not getting the additional production from the rest of their team that they're looking for. So with what you're saying about Ariel Powers, I don't know if she's taking too many shots, but maybe the rest of the team just isn't providing that production that's needed too.
Yeah, because at the same time, I mean, you know, if your team is struggling offensively as that star and as that person who can get to the hole and do so many things, a multifaceted approach with so many weapons, I mean, at her disposal, I mean, hey, you kind of want to take over at the same token. Looking here at Tori Jankowski's number, she didn't shoot great. She went 4 of 13. She put in actually 11 points. Kara Miller went 5 for 10 with 12 points. She had a hot, hot first half. I think she actually had a career high at halftime. But then in the second half, we really got nothing from her. But other than that, I mean, with the exception of those three players, I mean, nobody else really contributed. Offensively, I should say. Lexi Gussert only had 3 points, 1 for 7. Becca Mills, 2 for 6 for 6 points. Anna Morrissey, 0 for 2. Jasmine Luckman, 0 for 2. So I don't know. It's really an odd season. Michigan State still searching for its first Big Ten W. 0 for 4 now in the Big Ten. They will also play Nebraska this Sunday, but they will be on the road. All right, folks. Well, if you happen to miss Current Sports TV last night, it was a fun episode. I got a chance to sit down, with one of my favorite guys in this business. He's such an outstanding writer, an outstanding person. He actually just became a father, so he's doing baby duties as well. His name is Chris Solari. I'm sure many of you have probably read his work in the Lansing State Journal. He is the Michigan State sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal, along with many others, including, of course, Graham Couch and Brian Calloway. He does an outstanding job. I decided to invite Chris on Current Sports TV to talk about his experience down at the Cotton Bowl. He was down there, of course, covering that game and had many great things to say about it. And it was certainly an unbelievable game. I mean, you just heard from our caller, Ray, Michigan State coming back from 20 points down to get that win. It was everywhere. National media, everybody was buzzing and talking about it. So I first had to ask Chris about his experience down there and just about his overall outlook on that incredible Michigan State win.
It was something, a different experience than the Rose Bowl altogether. In similar finish in that it was exhilarating up until the end. You had a lot of high suspense and drama. But I think one of the things that really separated it was that indoor stadium. I love the Rose Bowl. I love the mountains. It's picturesque. But when you go inside that dome stadium, it gives it a different vibe. It definitely gives it a different vibe. And the Cotton Bowl people couldn't have been nicer. They were fantastic. And, boy, what a game that Michigan State and Baylor put on for those people down there. And I think they reveled in it, and they lapped it up. And talking to people in Dallas before the game, that's the kind of matchup they love in the Cotton Bowl. And it's good to see it get back on its feet in the new playoff system with a game like that.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I can just imagine. I mean, you being a writer, I mean, up in the press box, and you're seeing this game. I mean, 41-21 to start of the fourth quarter. And, you know, I'm watching it at home, and I'm saying, okay, I don't see how there's any possible way that Michigan State can come back and win this game. Then you start to see things sort of change as the game went on. I mean, you as a writer, what was the buzz like in the press box for you guys? I mean, you probably were already right in the lead, maybe pronouncing MSU dead at that point. I don't know.
I won't say that certain people said that we should just start writing basketball stories for the next day, but they did.
Really? Oh,
yes.
Gosh. Okay.
And that was
they will remain nameless, right?
They will remain nameless. But
okay.
That was in the third quarter. But it stayed about a 3-score game, and I kept thinking to myself, if MSU gets one more score, it's still only a 2-score game. A lot of time left. So when they got that score, when Connor Cook drove the ball to the 1-yard line with a big run, and then Jeremy Langford punched it in, that's when I realized this is going to happen. This could happen. Mm-hmm. Not that it was going to, but it could happen.
Could, possibility.
So I went to the field to get video of whatever was going to happen, and sure enough, I got the best view of the most amazing finish that I've seen, and that includes some of the best Michigan State games I've ever seen. That
wow.
Best finish that I've ever seen in a college football game.
It certainly was one for the ages, to say the least, yeah. Chris. Now, you know, when you know Michigan State, you know, as you just saw in my intro, I mean, to knock off Baylor, the number 5 team in college football, a team that, you know, along with TCU and a few others, that felt as though they deserved to be in that college football playoff. For Michigan State to come back and knock off Baylor, I mean, what type of statement does that make about Michigan State and also the Big Ten?
I think it makes a really big statement about what Mark D'Antonio has done with this program to make them feel like they're not out of any game. That's something that Michigan State lacked for years and years and years. But that sense of resolve is there. And that's what good programs have. That's what great programs have. Mark D'Antonio has them in the elite now. I think that's safe to say after that game against Baylor. And especially after seeing Ohio State and Oregon both move on, I went into the Cotton Bowl thinking there's a chance that Michigan State, if certain things played out, they can make a case for number 3 in the country for the second straight year. I don't think they can right now, but they're definitely a top 5 team without a question.
You know, it's so interesting because, you know, on our radio show, Current Sports Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m., check it out, guys. But, you know, it's so interesting because we get callers all the time. Especially throughout this season, that, you know, when you come off a Rose Bowl win, and Michigan State, to be honest with you, they were not shy in letting people know that, hey, yeah, I mean, we would love to compete for a national championship now. Naturally, when you have success, you want to make that next stride, that next leap. And then when it came into realization that Michigan State was not going to make that 14 playoff, you know, they lost to Oregon, then they lose to Ohio State. I mean, you start to see, and I started to hear from different people from around this area saying as though this season may be of a bit of a letdown. I mean, is it kind of a catch-22? Because at the same time, it shows the expectations and things are really changing around here where you expect more out of Michigan State football. But at the same time, don't you have to put things in perspective as well?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. A catch-22 is a great way to describe it because the expectations are elevated now. Last year's Rose Bowl did that. Finishing number three in the country did that. Winning Big Ten titles, that's done that. Beating Ohio State has done that. So those program expectations now are different than when Mark D'Antonio took over and really when Kirk Cousins left even. Because they took that next step.
Right.
The logical next step after the Rose Bowl was to get into that 14 playoff, as you said. They didn't get in it this year. So the question is, and Mark Collis talked about this before the Cotton Bowl, is that a good thing for programs? Is that a good thing for schools? Is four enough teams in the playoff? Should two be the right number? Should eight be the right number? More. That's something I think we're going to have a lot of conversations with over the next few years of this college football playoff system. I think that eight will be the eventual number, but you know, once the gate receipts are counted, once the TV networks see the ratings, I think that the insatiable need for college football fans to get a true national champion will win out.
Gotcha. Now, how many years do you think that'll take to make the change? Since it's already, I mean, this is the first year we've had a playoff in general.
Well, I think back to 1995 when I was working at the State News and remembering when the BCS system was announced.
Right.
And think about how long that took. That took, that was 95. Now here we are in 2014, down to 2015, and we still are just getting those infant stages. I think this will move a lot faster just simply because of the TV money that's driving it. Well, I'd say probably within 5 to 10 years, though.
Okay, so pretty soon then. All right, well, we'll see. Only time will tell. Now, Chris, another aspect to that game that was so interesting and very emotional for many Spartan fans out there, more specifically, Mark D'Antonio, because they've worked with each other for so long and become such good friends. I mean, this was kind of the perfect game to send Pat Narduzzi out, MSU defensive coordinator, now the head coach at Pittsburgh. It was the perfect swan song for him. I mean, you saw the tears kind of flow between those two guys. I mean, how big of a blow will the absence of Pat Narduzzi be for Michigan State next year?
I don't think it will be as much as some people are predicting, but it definitely will be to some extent. If that's as noncommittal an answer as I can give, that's it. But I think that the people don't realize that the best defensive coordinator on that team is Mark D'Antonio. He's the one with the national title ring. He's the one that really took Pat Narduzzi from a kind of a bit of a loose cannon, closer to a Bo Pelini type, and really helped him mold himself in D'Antonio's own image to take over a program. And I think Narduzzi's ready for that, and I think he's going to do great things at Pitt, a program that I followed growing up quite extensively. And I think that when you see Harlan Barnett and Mike Tressel, they bring a lot of those same attributes that Narduzzi had in different ways. And the co-coordinator system this year on the offensive side of the ball couldn't have worked out better with Dave Warner and Jim Bowman. I think you see that again next year.
That is certainly true. And there's, you know, Trey Wayans, of course, MSU corner. He recently announced that he will be taking his talents to the NFL and entering the NFL draft. Another name that comes up amid speculation as to what he would do is Shalique Calhoun, of course. Shalique has also been a guest here on Current Sports. One of my favorite interviews I've ever done with an athlete. He just has a natural charisma on the air, and he loves to talk with the media. If he does go, I'll miss him. But do you think he's going to go next year, Chris?
Boy, I think that there's a good enough chance that he'll stay. I think that what he's hearing from draft scouts saying maybe a second-round pick and then seeing what happened when some of those guys who said, you know, you could be a second-round pick dropped, I think there's some concern about that. I think that there's also the realization that, hey, he could play himself into that top end of the first round rather than worry about being a bottom end of the first round guy. Same thing with Connor Cook. We saw Connor Cook make the decision to come back. UCLA's Brett Hundley is going to go into the draft. Jameis Winston will go into the draft. Very, very good possibility that Marcus Mariota goes into the draft. All of a sudden, you're looking next year at the 2016 NFL draft. Number one on the quarterback draft board might be Connor Cook.
That is so true. Well, only time will tell on that one as well. Now, Chris, I want to get your thoughts on, I tell you what, a local Lansing legend. Of course, this week it was announced the Baseball Hall of Fame inductees for this year was announced. And, yeah, a local legend, John Schmoltz, will be enshrined into the hall this July. I mean, what was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, my first reaction was, I'm glad the voters got it right. Because there was concern that when Smoltz moved between the starting rotation and the bullpen, that his numbers didn't quite add up on either side of it to be a Hall of Famer. But when you put it all together and you realize that you're talking about a Cy Young Award winner, a Rolaids winner, a World Series winner, an NLCS MVP, all of these things put John Smoltz right there as a first ballot guy, and I'm really glad they got it right, because as good as Maddux was, as good as Glavine was, Smoltz was every bit as dominant, and all three of those guys going in there in 2 years is a perfect end to their careers.
It certainly is unbelievable. Of course, along with Randy Johnson, Greg Biggio, and of course Pedro Martinez, all four of those guys will be enshrined in the Hall. Now, you know, you talk to a few people, coaches and other personnel who knew John. I mean, and it's also posted on LSJ.com, I believe, yeah. So check that out. Chris did an outstanding job with that. What was the reaction that you got from those individuals when they talked about what John was and who he is?
Well, the biggest thing they talk about is that he is humble and he is true to his roots. And I think that that says a lot. He was back here in the Lansing area, 2012. I spoke with him at Eagle Eye Country Club and couldn't have been any nicer. Didn't know me from Adam, and we had a 10-15 minute conversation like we just stepped out of the golf course and and had been golfing 18. And
just best buds, right?
Yep, that's the kind of guy he is, and that's what I've heard from everybody about John Smoltz, and he takes care of the people back here. He's got a field on the west side named after him. He helps out the CASA youth organization, their baseball teams, and puts them up. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy that does a lot for the community and still retains his love for MSU, because he was only a couple hours away from being a Spartan.
That is very, very true, Chris. Now, before I let the 12th man get at you, I just want to talk about the process of the Baseball Hall of Fame induction. Because it seems as though every year that we get a new class, The conversation comes up, you know, first off, did the inductees get it right, like you just alluded to? And second, do they like the process? Do you like the process of how that's voted upon?
I do. I think in part because that's a historical process that goes all the way back to the inception of the Hall of Fame. And obviously you have a tweak here and there over the years, but it stays pretty current. Current sports.
There we go.
It stays pretty current and up to date. While the players might not like it, there are fail-safes with the Veterans Committee and a number of other things that if a guy falls through the cracks, and I think Alan Trammell's probably going to be one of those guys, the Veterans Committee can take a good hard look at it and deem them worthy of enshrinement, that maybe the writers didn't have the same rapport with those guys or maybe didn't see the greatness that only the baseball minds would know.
So you just brought up Alan Trammell. Are there any more names that are flowing through that noggin of yours that you think should be in there that aren't right now?
Well, that depends on what you want to say with should be. Numbers-wise, I don't think you can argue Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, but there's obviously the steroid situation with those two guys and a number of other guys. I think the guy that more than likely did it in a clean manner is Edgar Martinez. And if you listen to a lot of those Hall of Fame guys, the guys that are getting in this class, they said that Edgar Martinez was one of the best hitters that they've ever faced. Randy Johnson and Pedro Martinez both said that. Right. So he's one guy to look at. Mike Piazza next year, and then next year's class could very well include Ken Griffey Jr., and I can't believe that we're saying the kid is going to finally go into the Hall of Fame, because I can remember when he was 19 years old.
Isn't that unbelievable? Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun,
it
right?
It really does.
All right, and one last one, because, you know, you brought it up. We went there. You know, you brought up Barry Bonds. You brought up Roger Clemens. Should those who have that steroid taint, if you will, be enshrined into the Hall?
No.
Not at all. Why?
Because I believe that they cheated the process, they cheated the game, and in a lot of ways, what they did is they kept other guys out of baseball, not just the Hall of Fame. We're talking about out of baseball, out of jobs, because you look at how Willie Mays went out, it wasn't pretty, but it was natural and it was real. And that, how Mickey Mantle went out, that's how those guys went out. Those were Hall of Famers. They had no problem with that because that's what the natural progression is. These guys tried to jinky that, if you will.
Right. Take the easy route, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that, again, is just a snippet of my sit-down with Lansing State Journal, Michigan State sports reporter Chris Solari. Again, Chris was my guest last night on Current Sports TV. Folks, if you missed it, it is actually posted on video.wkar.org. Again, video.wkar.org. You can go there, check out that episode in its entirety. Not only will you get to see the sit-down with Chris, but you also get to see footage from the Cotton Bowl. You'll get to see Terry Braverman, longtime Michigan State men's basketball PA announcer,
announced his final game. He was honored and got to give his farewell speech. You'll get to see that and hear that. And also, even Mark D'Antonio was at that game to thank the fans for coming out at the Cotton Bowl and supporting this team all season. So you'll get to see footage of all of that and so much more. Just simply go to video.wkar.org to check out that episode and every single episode we've done in current sports TV history. All right, well, let's hit our second break of the show. When we come back, it is Friday, and we like to reflect on this Friday, or each and every Friday here on Current Sports. We like to reflect on the week that was in sports. We'll do that and also give you our NFL playoff weekend predictions. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. Man, Alex, don't you dub this Funky Friday, right? It's Funky Friday, where Alex likes to have a lot of fun with our music in and out of the breaks. And you're playing some funky music today. That's, man, is that Funkadelic? That's Funkadelic. That's some good Funkadelic right there. Alex shook his head and said, yeah, I'm pretty good knowing my music. That's Funkadelic right there. Throwing it back, baby, throwing it back. All right. Well, you know, it's Friday. And each and every Friday here on Current Sports, we dub it Reflection Friday, where we kind of just look back at the week that was in sports. We look back at the week that was here on the show and give you our favorite moments, our favorite stories, our favorite discussions, and just kind of reflect. So let's do that right now. It's time for Reflection Friday right here on Current Sports. All right, man, I love that piano riff. For those of you who don't know, I actually recorded that myself right here in the Current Sports studios. We have a study.
I didn't know it was Comical Friday, Al.
It is Comical Friday, isn't it? Yeah. I wish I could play like that. You can actually play the piano. A lot of people don't know.
Hey,
Alex has a hidden talent.
I recorded this. Let's be real.
Yeah, Alex recorded this. He can actually play this. I can't play. I wish I could play this, right? If I could play the piano, I wouldn't be sitting here probably. All right, well, first off, Alex, I want to start my Reflection Friday with this story. I am particularly excited about today's news that was released concerning my favorite athlete. Folks, in exactly 16 days, 10 hours, 7 minutes, and 34 seconds, Tiger Woods will make his 2015 golf debut. Yeah, I'm excited, folks. He will start his 2015 campaign in back-to-back weeks at the Waste Management Phoenix Open and the Farmers Insurance Open, I should say. Now, earlier in the week is interesting because Golf.com reported that Woods had made preparations to play at TPC Scottsdale for the first time since 2001. He hasn't played that tournament in years, folks. Now, the return coincides with the playing for the latest Super Bowl, of course, at nearby University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, in Arizona, just after the tournament concludes on February 1st. So Woods decided to bump it up a little bit and play in 16 days. How about that? Now, will Tiger Woods be the Tiger Woods of old? Who knows? I just like watching the man play, and I think golf is better when Tiger Woods is not only playing, but playing well. So I'm excited. That's one of my
big
stories.
Bring back the ESPN channel, the Tiger channel. Bring
Please
it back,
do.
Baby.
Remember the Tiger Tracker? I used to love that thing. Oh, yeah. So I'll start off with that, Alex.
I like that. Now, we didn't talk about this at all yesterday. I'm kind of surprised. The NFL has found Ray Rice in the whole, assault on his girlfriend, the video. The FBI investigated. They find out that there wasn't prior evidence that the NFL knew there was a video regarding Ray Rice. So after all the scrutiny, we saw what happened with the referees in the Lions game. Everyone slashing at the NFL left and right. Hey, the NFL gets a little more fuel. They're a little bit, they're now hanging on, not by the edge, but they're hanging on by the cliff. So, you know what? It's good for the NFL. A nice sign for them. Honestly, I'm really happy that they didn't, because that would just be the downfall of Roger Goodell and his army.
Yeah, if it would have came out if they did have that footage and they didn't do anything harsher about it, yeah, it would have been crazy. You know, the reason why we did that, because I actually got that update on my way to my meeting right after the show, and I'm like, oh my goodness, so it just came out. But yeah, that's a good one right there. Also, I will be remiss if I did not bring up this, folks. Again, the Detroit Pistons. I mean, this incredible streak. Finally, people are starting to talk about my Pistons. You know, this incredible win streak that extended, of course, to 7 games with the win over Dallas on the road. They beat the San Antonio Spurs earlier this week. They will play the Atlanta Hawks at home. So I'm curious not only to see if they can beat the Hawks at home, Alex, but also I'm curious to see if this most recent attention and buzz about this squad, not just in the NBA, but in the sports world in general, will spark interest from those living right here in Michigan. Will people be at tonight's game? I don't want to see any empty seats tonight, Alex. I don't.
Yeah, and if there are empty seats, though, you have to kind of understand that.
Right, right.
The Pistons so far this year, it's not like they start winning, it's going to be a full house. You know, it'll take some time.
Exactly. It's a gradual progression.
When Michigan
the same
State
time,
Spartan
yeah.
football started playing well, you didn't see tons of fans in the seats either.
Right.
Let's be real.
Right. I agree. So we'll see. All right. What,
I like that. Another team you got to really look at, another Detroit team. How about the Red Wings, man? They started off hot first place. They were that traditional first place, typical dynasty. It started to phase off a little bit. They lost 4 straight. People were wondering, all right, was that a fluke? They get a big win at Calgary in a typical one-goal fashion. They're getting a lot of their players back from injuries, so got to give props to the Wings.
Yeah, the Wings also handle business, too. I think they kind of got, you know, I don't think a lot of people are talking about them. I just think they kind of – a lot of stories happened this week that kind of overshadowed the Wings' success also. So, yeah, shout-out to the Red Wings. I like that as well. All right, Alex. Well, you know, it is Friday, and this weekend I will be glued to my TV. Many people will be glued to their TVs, especially on Sunday at 1 o'clock. There will be a lot of people from this state of Michigan watching that Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers game saying, man, that should be the Lions, right? But, hey, I tell you what, exciting slate of games. I just want to kind of go one by one here and give me your prediction. We'll both give our predictions on it. Let's start Saturday, the first game. Let's see here. The 4:30 game, Baltimore and New England. Who you got?
Whew. You got some tough games this weekend. I'm going to say New England gets it done. I think Baltimore, they had that big win. I know they're a dangerous team. You never got to count Baltimore out. But, hey, it's Tom Brady, man. You said it yourself, Al. Hey, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, it is. It is Tom Brady, man. And, you know, as much as my mind wants to pick New England, my heart is picking Baltimore in this game.
Really?
I'm going with Baltimore.
What do you like about this
game? I love Flacco, man. Flacco, it's like when the playoffs come. You know, it's interesting because I actually tweeted out this Saturday before the Lions game, before the Lions played on Sunday, and I was sitting there looking at the numbers. You know, Joe Flacco has a better QBR than Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs in the last 10 years. That is unbelievable. I mean, it's like he just takes his game up to another level in the playoffs. I like this Baltimore team, too. I think they're a gritty team that can cause a lot of problems for New England. I think New England is a little overrated when it comes to their defense, so I think that will allow Joe Flacco to do some more things. So I'm going with Baltimore in that game. Later on that day on Saturday, the second game at 8:15, is Carolina in Seattle. Who you got?
They got to go with the Seahawks, man. What about you?
I'm going with the Seahawks as well. I think Seattle is just a completely better team overall than Carolina. I think the Cam Newton fiasco stops right now. Dallas and Green Bay, man.
I know who you're going to pick, but I'm going to go with the Packers.
You go with the Packers?
Yeah.
Indianapolis or Denver?
Denver.
You're going with Denver. Okay, I'm going to go with Denver, and I am going to go with – let me take my time here. I'm going with my Cowboys, man.
How about them Cowboys?
I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. I think they get the win over Aaron Rodgers. All right. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning into today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Hey, folks, stay warm, have one fantastic weekend, and hey, as always, be easy, people.